This is an Our Flag Means Death podfic of Keeping the Door Open, written by Dim Sim Kitty and read by Cheesecake 3. This is a Gentle Beard fic that's rated explicit. The summary. Lucius gives Steed a butt plug for his birthday. Steed doesn't know what it's for. Steed always dreaded when his birthday was on a work day, having to smile through colleague after colleague wishing him a happy birthday when normally they didn't give him the time of day. The terrible grocery store cake with its clumpy icing in the lunchroom. The only thing that made this birthday a little better was his new assistant, Lucius. Though much younger than him, Lucius had taken Steed under his wing, delighted to be introducing a new baby gay to the world. Steed hadn't planned on telling anyone at work, but one particularly lonely day after his divorce, when he was looking at photos of Mary and her new partner Doug on her Instagram account, Lucius had caught him crying. Initially, he thought it was because he missed Mary, but slowly he managed to coax it out of Steed that he was crying because he had recently realised he was gay and was happy for Mary that she had moved on, but didn't even know how to begin moving on himself. And just like that, Lucius swept Steed into his little queer circle of friends, introducing Steed to a whole new world. But still, Steed had stopped short of actually going out with them to meet anyone. Sure, Fang, one of Lucius's boyfriends, claimed to have an age-appropriate friend that he thought Steed would really like, but it still felt too soon for so bold a manoeuvre. Steed was getting ready to leave for the day when Lucius popped his head around the door with a sly grin, holding a box with a ribbon on it. "Got you a little something special for your birthday. Thought it might help you along a little bit in your journey," he said, with a particularly delighted grin. "Just promise me you won't open it until you get home. And don't think that the crew has forgotten it's your birthday. Tomorrow we are taking you out. Baby's first gay bar. Don't think you can get out of it this time." Steed took the package and slipped it into his bag, both pleased and exasperated at Lucius's eagerness to get him on the scene, as the youth seemed to call it. "Good night, Captain," Lucius said with a salute, leaving for the day. Steed closed down his computer and turned off the lights before heading home himself. Steed looked at what was in the present he had just opened. It was something. He just wasn't sure what. It was black, with a tapered bulb at one end and a flared base. Fairly solid, but almost like it was made out of some sort of rubber? Silicon? One thing for certain, he had no idea what it was or what he was meant to do with it. Was it ornamental? Not really his style, but who knows what the kids these days were into. He was about to throw it in a drawer when suddenly inspiration struck. Of course, he knew what it was now, but what an odd gift. The door to his home office was forever swinging shut, and it turned out this was the perfect thing, the base wedged underneath to keep it propped open. He must have mentioned the door to Lucius at some point. Sweet of him to remember, though he made a mental note to find another doorstop more to his taste. But what did Lucius mean it would help him along? Perhaps something symbolic about keeping a door open for new opportunities? Yes, that must be it. The next evening, Steed was staring at his wardrobe and panicking about what to wear. It wasn't that he didn't have clothes, he had a lot of them. He considered himself a bit of a clothes horse and even had an entire auxiliary wardrobe, but he had no idea what to wear out tonight, his first gay club experience. Lucius had been no help, just telling him to wear something slutty. That just made him blush furiously, even though there was no one there to see it. He arrived at the club wearing a very nicely tailored teal suit with a black silk shirt underneath. That was daring, right? Though as soon as he arrived, he started to feel out of place, seeing lots of skin, leather and mesh on other people waiting in line. "Babe! Boss! We're over here!" Lucius yelled, a boyfriend on each arm. Steed liked Fang a lot. Pete, his other boyfriend, seemed sweet but was prone to telling tall tales. Lucius stepped away from the others, looking Steed up and down. "This is your idea of something slutty?" he asked with an incredulous look. Steed's heart sank. He felt like he was always misunderstanding the assignment. Lucius swiftly undid the top three buttons on his black shirt. There. Much better. At least show some tit. Come on, Jim and Ollie were waiting inside for us. Oh, by the way, how did you like my present? He whispered to Steed. Yes, thank you. It was very thoughtful. I put it to good use straight away, Steed said politely. Good manners were just polite, even though the gift still puzzled him. Well, 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 Steed Cleopatra, there's a bonnet. Look at you go, Lucius smirked, holding his hand up for a high five. Steed slapped it somewhat weakly before being swept up into the club. The club was loud and hot, and Steed was feeling very out of place as they made their way to the table that Jim and Olu had already saved for the group. Fang left, saying he was also meeting someone at the bar and would be back soon. Steed slid into a seat and tried hard not to focus on the sticky feeling underneath his shoes. Steed, you should meet my friend Ed, Fang said with a big smile on his face as he returned. Steed sighed, spotting Lucius grinning at him and wiggling his eyebrows. He turned to extend a hand and introduce himself, but every word he ever knew quickly fell out of his head. Ed was gorgeous. Tall, light brown skin, soft brown eyes, a short salt and pepper beard, and long silver hair pulled back in a high ponytail. He was dressed in black leather with a string of pearls around his neck, hovering above a tattoo of what looked like a bird just underneath his collarbone. Ed's eyes seemed to widen as they looked at each other, and Ed looked him up and down, gaze lingering over his exposed chest. I think we should dance, Lucius exclaimed, taking Fang and Pete by the hands and dragging them onto the dance floor. Much to Steed's confusion, he whispered in his ear, Go get it, slut! You're all warmed up after last night. Steed looked to Jim and Olu, but they were engaged in some serious making out. Steed knew better than to risk raising Jim's ire by interrupting them. He realized suddenly that he hadn't said a word to Ed. He'd just been standing there with his hand extended. At some point, Ed had taken his hand and was looking at him expectantly. I'm Steed, he half yelled over the thumping music. He was quickly deciding that clubs were not his scene. Ed, can I get you a drink? Ed replied. How lovely, thought Steed. Maybe Fang had told Ed that it was Steed's birthday. That would be lovely. Perhaps something fruity? Steed said, noticing Ed's lips quirk upwards before he vanished back towards the bar. While Steed was waiting for Ed to come back, another man came up and started speaking to him. How nice that people were so friendly here. The other man started leaning closer to Steed, but suddenly Ed appeared beside him and slammed down two drinks. The other man yelped, took one look at Ed, and vanished back into the crowd. Ed pulled up a chair right next to Steed, and before sitting down, took off his jacket to reveal a tight purple cropped t-shirt and tattoos covering his arms. Steed stared at the slither of soft tummy suddenly exposed at eye level, before Ed sat down next to him, moving their chairs so close that Ed's thigh was pressing up against his. It made sense. The noise here was loud. This way they could hear each other talk. Steed sipped his drink, something called a blue Hawaiian, that tasted like a fancy pina colada and was wonderfully blue, almost matching his suit. There was a maraschino cherry on top, and Steed popped it into his mouth, busying himself by tying the stem into a knot with his tongue. An old trick he had learned. Sometimes he used it to show off, but at the moment it was just something to do because he was feeling very awkward and not really sure how to talk to Ed with all this noise. Ed paused, his whiskey only half drunk, and stared at him with a heavy, lidded gaze. Do you want to get out of here? Ed whispered into his ear. Oh, yes, that sounds like a wonderful idea, Steed said happily. This place was so loud and he really wasn't having a good time, but he was definitely interested in getting to know Ed a bit more. They would be able to talk somewhere quieter than this. He slept down the rest of his drink while Ed put his jacket on, and then Ed grabbed his hand and led him to the door. He caught Lucius giving him two extremely enthusiastic thumbs up as he passed. Once outside, Steed was relieved by the cooler air and the lack of noise. He expected Ed to drop his hand now that we're outside, but Ed kept hold of it and led Steed down the block to where it was a bit quieter. "Much better," Steed said. "I can finally hear myself think. It was so noisy in there. This was my first time at a club. I don't think I'm in any hurry to get back." "So, you want to get a taxi?" Ed murmured close to his ear, causing the hairs on Steed's neck to stand up, and something else started thinking about standing up as well. He pushed those feelings aside, feeling a little crestfallen. Of course, Ed had just wanted to make sure Steed got home okay. He probably had people waiting for him back inside. "Of course, I should be getting home. Thank you for walking me out. There's a taxi rank just across the street. I don't even have to wait for one." Steed felt himself beginning to babble. "Good night, Edward," Steed said, crossing the road before he could embarrass himself any further. He glanced back and saw Ed staring at him with a look of confusion and something else he couldn't name. Steed woke up in the dark to his ringtone. He didn't know what time it was, just that it was either too late or too early for anyone to be ringing him. He sat up in a panic, thinking that something must be wrong with Mary or the kids. Grabbing his phone, he saw it was Lucius. And it was 3 a.m. "Lucius, good grief, it's 3 a.m. Is everything all right?" "Steed," Lucius slurred. He was clearly quite drunk. "Steed, Gertrude, Glentine Bonnet. What is the meaning of going home alone when you had that leather daddy practically begging you for it?" Steed was confused. Leather daddy? The only person he had spoken to in leather, other than Fang, was Ed and... Oh. No, Lucius was drunk and mistaken. Ed had surely found someone much better to spend his night with, and Steed couldn't imagine he'd thought about sharing it with him at all. "I don't know what you're talking about, Lucius, but you were too drunk for whatever conversation you were trying to have." "But you thought he was good-looking, right?" Lucius giggled on the phone. "What? Well, of course, but that is beside the point. Get Fang and Pete to take you home, Lucius. Go to bed." Steed hung up, turning his phone on silent. Where Lucius got these ideas in his head, he'd never know. Still, as he tried to go back to sleep, he felt a small pang, wondering if perhaps he'd misread something. When he woke up a few hours later, there were some notifications on his phone. He'd been added to a new group chat by Lucius, titled "Get It Together." He nearly choked when he saw that Lucius had added Steed and Ed. "Lucius, this is happening. Lucius has left the chat." Perhaps he could just ignore it or delete it or hurl his phone into the ocean, but he was suddenly aware of the three bouncing dots indicating that someone was typing. Steed? Well, it would be impolite not to respond. "Good morning, Ed." "You left pretty suddenly last night, but Lucius said you had to run home to water your plants and that you wanted to talk to me again." "Again?" Steed had barely been able to talk to Ed last night over all the noise. They'd hardly exchanged any words until they were outside. He'd just like to talk to Ed properly for the first time. Despite what Lucius had suggested in his drunken early morning call, he would be happy making friends with Ed. Besides Fang, his friend group was all around Lucius's age, and he definitely missed the company of his contemporaries. Feeling brave, he suggested that Ed might come over for tea that afternoon. It was Sunday, and getting a reservation at one of his favourite places would probably be a nightmare. But tea was easy. He could do tea. Ed rang his doorbell promptly at 2:30 p.m., which delighted Steed because he prized punctuality. He opened his apartment door to find Ed dressed in tight black jeans and a t-shirt, his hair half up and half down, his leather jacket slung over his shoulder. He was looking at Steed a little warily. "Ed, come in. I'll just put the kettle on." Steed was feeling flustered again, face to face with Ed. Right, because we're having tea? Ed asked. Steed wasn't sure why there was a question about it. That's what the invitation was for. Yes, of course. Unless you prefer coffee. Not much of a coffee drinker, I'm afraid. Makes me too jittery. But I do love tea. Thank you so much for making sure I got off home okay last night. It was terribly kind of you. I hope you enjoy the rest of your night. Steed was aware that he was rambling. Went home pretty much straight after you, Ed said, a look of amusement in his eyes. Oh, that stung a bit. Of course, Ed would have no issues finding someone to take home straight away. Well, I hope I'm not interrupting your plans with anyone today, Steed replied. No plans. Went home alone. Ed continued to stare at him. Steed's breath hitched a little, and he was unsure of what to say. Thankfully, the kettle boiled, so he could scurry into the kitchen to make the tea. How do you take your tea? Steed asked. Dollop of milk, 7 sugars, Ed replied. Surely Steed had heard wrong, and that was enough to snap him out of his nervous haze. Steed shook his head slightly, but went ahead and added the frankly absurd amount of sugar anyway, stirring vigorously to try and get it to dissolve. Ed had wandered over to look at Steed's bookshelf as Steed brought their cups over. Do you like reading, Ed? He asked, hoping they might find some common ground. Steed realised that he knew hardly anything about him other than that he was a friend of Fang's. I reckon I do. Didn't always have time for it when I was younger, but now I have a lot more free time on my hands. I don't mind it, if the story's right. Those are some interesting artworks you've got there. He gestured to a series of paintings. Oh, thank you. I love flowers. I know those are sort of abstract, but they bring a nice vibe to the room, don't you think? Ed gave a little snort, then stopped to look at another shelf. You've got a lot of knick-knacks and trinkets here. Thank you. I do love to collect a lot of little miniatures of things. If you like those, come and see my office. I have a whole miniature ship collection in there. Steed was happy to have something to talk about. He led Ed towards the open office door, though Ed suddenly stopped, looking down with confusion. Steed, what is that? He said, pointing to Lucius's gift. Oh, that? I know, it doesn't really go with the decor, but, you know, it does the job. Ed suddenly burst out laughing. You're fucking fascinating. He must have noticed Steed looking apprehensive. In a good way. I like it. Steed relaxed and then happily started showing Ed through his ship collection. He worried at one point that he was boring him. He knew he'd go on a bit, but Ed seemed to be enraptured by what Steed was saying, asking some questions here and there, and spending a lot of time staring at Steed's mouth. Steed found himself getting a bit flustered with the attention and accidentally knocked a paperweight off his desk. Oh, bother. Let me just get that, he said, bending down to pick it up. It rolled under the desk. He swore he heard Ed let out a quiet groan. Do you need a hand with that? Ed asked, coming up close behind him. Nope. Got it. Steed stood up and replaced it. I'm sorry. I've kept you in here so long. Our tea must be getting cold. Steed returned to work the next day, feeling in good spirits. Though clubbing wasn't something he'd be rushing to try again, he'd made a lovely new friend, which seemed harder as he got older. He got into work a bit early, turning on the lights and propping open his door with Lucius's present. He hoped Lucius wouldn't mind that he decided to use it at work instead, but the style of it just really didn't mesh with his aesthetics. Humming happily to himself, he turned his computer back on and went to make some tea. He came back to Lucius staring wide-eyed at his door. Steed, what is that doing there? He pointed. Oh, I hoped you wouldn't mind that I decided to bring it to work instead of keeping it at home. It just seems to suit the colour scheme better here, don't you think? Steed, why is a butt plug holding your office door open? Steed suddenly felt very confused. Wait, what? You gave me a butt plug? Yes! Why do you think I told you to open it at home? Lucius, you gave me a butt plug? Yes, I did. Okay. But right now, I think we are focusing on the wrong part. People are about to start coming in, and a butt plug is in the middle of the space. You might want to focus on that right now. But you gave me... Steed felt the good mood of the morning evaporate. A butt plug. We covered this. Get it out of there. Steed raced to pull it up off the floor, his office door swinging shut as he did. Lucius's shocked expression was quickly giving way to laughter. So, when you said you put it to good use the other night... I was using it to hold a door open at home. Look, you didn't give me any idea what it was. It seemed like that was what it was meant to do. Oh yeah, it's for holding things open, all right. Lucius snorted. Suddenly, Steed felt all the blood drain from his face. He sat down and put his head in his hands. Oh, Steed, look, it's fine. No one else has seen it. No damage done. Lucius put his hand on Steed's shoulder. Steed tried to say words, but a strangled muttering came out instead. What was that? Lucius asked. Ed was over yesterday. He saw it. He asked me about it. I didn't know. Do you think he knew? Steed knew the answer before he even finished the question. Lucius couldn't hold it in anymore and started howling with laughter. Steed didn't know how he made it through the day. Lucius had tucked the doorstop that was actually a butt plug away in a drawer, but Steed knew it was there and was miserably drowning in his mortification. One thing was for sure, he could never face Ed again. Steed, I'm heading out. You gonna be okay? Lucius asked kindly, and Steed looked up to see Lucius and Pete looking at him with concern. Pete knows, doesn't he? Steed said sadly, feeling his face turn even redder. What? I don't know anything. I didn't even know butt plugs were happening, Pete blathered, prompting Lucius to elbow him sharply in the ribs. Don't listen to him. It could happen to anyone. Okay, well, maybe not. Anyway, once you're done moping, maybe check your messages? Lucius said, shuffling Pete out of the office with muffled laughter. Steed had been ignoring his phone all day, trying to avoid the temptation to send a message to Ed to explain himself. What would he even say? He pulled it out from his bag and noticed a notification from Ed. Want to get a drink tonight? Steed thought about hurling his phone through the window and himself right after it. But he had looked at the message, and Ed would now be able to see that he looked at the message, and maybe if Ed was reaching out to him, it wasn't all bad. Getting drinks on a Monday night felt a bit daring, and getting drinks on a Monday night with a handsome man felt downright scandalous. Of course, any thrill he might have enjoyed about it was tempered by the hot swell of embarrassment he felt. The bar Ed had suggested was nice. It was quiet and cosy, a far cry from the club where they'd met. He slipped in and saw Ed sitting in a little booth, waving him over. Oh my God, Ed, I am so sorry. I have to explain myself. I don't know what you even must be thinking of me. I'm so embarrassed. Lucius didn't explain what it was to me, and I just sort of guessed, and I'm horrified. I hope it didn't make you feel uncomfortable. Any pretense at playing it cool was abandoned as Steed immediately launched into a babble of apologies. Mate, Ed laughed, what are you talking about? Oh, the doorstop that wasn't a doorstop. Steed somehow managed to squeak out, lowering his eyes and blushing for what must have been the millionth time that day. Oh, that wasn't on purpose. Gotta say, I just assumed you were into some kinky decorating. I've been imagining what your bedroom must look like all day. I didn't realize what it was and... Wait, why were you thinking about my bedroom? Steed, I've been wanting to get into your pants since the moment I saw you. Me? My pants? Steed stammered. I'm sorry if I've come on too strong. If you're not interested, I understand, Ed said. Oh, I didn't realize. I would never have thought. Steed was blushing now, but for a different reason. Mate, I have been sending signals since the moment we met. I thought you were sending some too, but then I don't know, you didn't seem so keen. So on Saturday, when you were talking about getting a taxi, a sudden rush of understanding engulfed Steed. Oh, you wanted to take me home. Someone seems chipper this morning. Have a good night, Lucia said as he came into the office the next day. Anything you want to tell me? There really isn't anything to tell, Steed said primly, which was part of the truth, at least not the full extent of what Lucius was implying. Last night was a revelation of sorts, once he realised that Ed was attracted to him, though that on its own was something he was still struggling to understand. The conversation had flowed a lot more easily. He had finally explained the confusion of the butt plug that was not a doorstop, and while Ed had laughed, it hadn't been mean or belittling, more like an inside joke they could share between them, and Steve did definitely want to share things between them. So, if you didn't know what it was, does that mean? Ed asked. No, never. I'm sorry, I only just realised I was gay. Everything is new to me, Steed confided shyly. You never have to apologise for that, and I'm sorry if I made you feel rushed or uncomfortable at all, Ed replied. Oh, you didn't, because I didn't really realise. I thought that you might just seem too impossible for me. You sweet, oblivious man. I wish you could see yourself through my eyes. You're hot. Steed had lost count of how many times he'd blushed that night and where it had morphed into something else. Now, when he blushed, he felt a small thrill of hope, like he was maybe worth something as wonderful as Ed seemed to be. I'm not going to rush you into anything. We can maybe take it slow, Ed said, smiling. But perhaps I could kiss you goodnight. Steve thought that sounded like an excellent idea, and kissing Ed was better than he could have hoped. Ed was gentle and sweet, and Steed had felt a little breathless after they parted, and a little sad when they said goodbye for the night. Steed ended up seeing Ed every night that week. Ed was intoxicating. Ed made him feel so comfortable. Ed was filling up his head. True to his word, Ed was taking things slow. They held hands over dinner, followed by sweet kisses goodnight. It was lovely, but also, well, Steed had woken up a few times needing to give himself some attention in the shower before he could start his day. Friday night, Steed had gone over to Ed's to watch a movie. The movie had been forgotten as they found themselves entwined on the sofa. Steed decided to deepen the kiss and soon found himself straddling Ed, their hands clasped in each other's hair. He was aching and hard, and he could feel Ed's erection through his jeans as he rolled his hips closer, seeking the friction. Steed, we don't have to rush this. It's okay, Ed panted, breaking the kiss. Steed did his best to hide his pout, and soon Ed was kissing him goodnight and sending him home. Saturday night, Steed was a man on a mission. He'd invited Ed over for dinner, which he was entirely planning on actually making, but as soon as he opened the door to Ed, he grabbed him by the front of his jacket and pulled him into the house, closing the door behind them. He pushed Ed up against the closed door, looking at him hungrily. Ed's eyes widened in surprise, but he nodded, and Steed closed the gap between them by leaning in for a kiss, his tongue sweeping through Ed's mouth. He let his hands roam over Ed's body, sliding his jacket off and running his fingers up under Ed's t-shirt, grazing his nipples. Shit, Steed, what's come over you? You sure? Ed gasped. Very sure. So sure. Never been surer in my life, Steed mumbled between kissing Ed's neck and working on the zipper at the front of Ed's jeans. He pulled his jeans and boxers down and Ed's cock sprung out, already leaking at the tip. Steed looked at it in awe. Steed, wait. We need to talk, Ed said between heavy breaths. Suddenly, Steed jumped back. Shit, shit, shit. He'd done it wrong, being too much. Ed reached out and held his face between his hands. Just gotta check in, be safe. I was tested 6 weeks ago, all negative. Haven't been with anyone since a bit before then. You? It took a minute for Steve's brain to be able to think. Also negative. No one since my ex-wife, Lucius, made me get tested. Ed responded with a kiss, which Steed savoured before dropping to his knees. Ed's pupils went wide. Now, you know I haven't done this before, so I'm sorry if it's not very good. Let me know if I should be doing something different, Steed said, cautiously flicking his tongue over Ed's tip and delighting in the groan that Ed let out. This was very unlike him, throwing himself into something without thoroughly researching it first, but Ed was so kind and never made him feel inadequate, so he felt safe enough to just give it his best go. And by the noises Ed was making, he seemed to be at least adequate as he worked his tongue and his mouth around his length. I'm so close, Steed, Ed panted, and Steed could feel the vibrations start humming through Ed's body. While he was aware that some people swallowed, he wasn't quite sure about doing that his first time doing this, and removed his mouth just in time for Ed to shoot thick, pearly ropes over his shirt. The sight was so hot, and he didn't even wince at the thought of the dry cleaning bill. He carefully pulled his shirt off over his head. Ed pulled him up and into a deep kiss. Where the hell did that come from? Not that I'm complaining. My God, such a talented mouth, Ed huffed into his ear. Steed smiled, feeling very pleased with himself. Steed did, in fact, make good on his offer for dinner. After finding another shirt for himself, Ed had looked a bit sad when he put it on, though they ordered in instead of him making it, and then they ate on the sofa, stealing kisses, rather than at the table he had set. Steed couldn't stop reaching out to touch Ed. This certainly was some night, Ed said, tangling his fingers up with Steed's. It's not over yet, Steed said, feeling both shy and bold at the same time. Ed looked at him with a raised eyebrow. Maybe you'd like to see my bedroom? Steed watched as Ed raked his eyes around the room. I'm sorry, it's a very average bedroom, Steed said. Who knows, you could be using a sex swing to hang your plants, a vibrator as a massage tool. Those biceps aren't going to massage themselves, Ed said, running his hand over one of said biceps and making Steed tremble a little. Steed was about to protest, but Ed cut him off with a kiss. You have the most adorable pout. What do you want, Steed? There's no pressure here. Well, ever since the, incident with the butt plug, I've been curious, wondering. You want me to fuck you? Steed managed a little nervous nod. Steed, that's hardly enthusiastic consent. I'm not going to do anything you're uncomfortable with here. You don't have to prove anything to me. No, Ed, I want it. I consent. Enthusiastically. Steed almost yelped. I don't really know how it all works. I mean, I know how it works, but just not the actual details. Don't worry, I'll look after you. And he did. Ed undressed them both so carefully, laid out a towel, and eased Steed down onto the bed. On your stomach for me, sweetheart, he whispered. One thing Steed had managed to get right was to purchase some Astroglide lube, the best. He knew what that was for. His breath hitched as Ed slowly traced his entrance with a finger, slowly sinking into the first knuckle. The whole time, Ed murmured encouragement and praised the Steed, waiting for him to relax around him, taking his time before Steed asked for another finger, then another. He let out a moan as Ed's fingers brushed his prostate for the first time, looking over to catch Ed smirking a little before he did it again. Are you ready for me, love? Ed asked quietly, and Steed nodded. Ed pushed his leg up further, and Steed heard the sounds of Ed slicking himself up with the lube. The tip of Ed's cock pressed to Steed's hole, and he whimpered. Just tell me if you need to stop. Ed pushed gently in, and Steed had a moment of surprise at the feeling of the stretch, but that was replaced with the feeling of just how right it felt. Ed worked slowly, continuing to mutter sweet nothings to Steed as he did, slowly getting deeper and deeper. His own cock was hard and leaking underneath him, and he squirmed to get friction against it. Ed reached his own hand underneath them, stroking Steed's cock in time with his own thrusts. Ed moved firmly, but still gently, until Steed tipped into a climax, and Ed followed not long after. "God, you're perfect," Ed said, kissing the back of Steed's neck as he slid out. He stood up, returning shortly with a damp cloth, cleaning Steed up so tenderly, like he was indeed something precious and perfect. They got under the covers and fell asleep, tangled up in each other. 1 year later. Steed had worried when they'd woken up after that first night that Ed would think that last night was a mistake, that he might have decided to run off to become a fisherman or something to avoid having to see Steed again. But he didn't. Steed had woken up to sweet kisses and then an extremely steamy shower where Ed taught him how to see stars another way. Ed was a good teacher and Steed was extremely eager to learn from him. Since then, they hadn't spent a night apart. In fact, Ed had moved in with him a few months later. The grin on Lucius's face when Steed had told him almost split his face in half, and then he had immediately asked for a raise. Honestly, Steed was inclined to give him one. He was in an excellent mood these days. It was his birthday again, this year on a Saturday, but the office still went through the motions on the Friday. This year it didn't grate so much. He had firmly told Lucius no gifts, though, especially after the Christmas present he'd given Steed. Yes, technically they were little statues of Christmas trees, but they bore a striking resemblance to butt plugs. Steed could laugh about that all now. He also laughed once Ed explained that the flower paintings on his wall weren't actually flowers, but rather represented something else. He'd wanted to take them down, but Ed insisted they stay up, and then Ed had distracted him in other ways until he'd relented. He woke up on his actual birthday to breakfast in bed from Ed. Toast and marmalade and tea, their favourite breakfast. Ed handed him a sleek black box with a black ribbon tied around it. "Happy birthday, babe," he said. Steed opened it carefully and chuckled when he saw what was inside. A butt plug. A far cry from the basic model that Lucius had given him. This one was rose gold with a glittering blue heart at the base of it. "Oh, Ed, a paperweight! How lovely!" Steed exclaimed. Ed looked at him in shock for a moment before Steed laughed and pulled him in for a kiss. The end.